Tonight, I actually want to start with a couple things that Charles Finney said. This was in the 1800s. And it's just kind of in response to this week. It's been a crazy week in the government and politics. Charles Finney said this: "The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this manner." And I find it so interesting. This is the 1800s. "The time has come, Christians must vote for honest men, take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics, but I tell you, he sees it. And he will bless or curse this nation according to the course the Christians take in politics." One last one, and he kind of says the same thing, but a little bit different. "The church must take the right ground in regard to politics. Politics are part of religion in such a country as this. And as Christians must do their duty to their country, and as part of their duty to God, God will bless or curse this nation according to the course we take in politics." You know, years ago, they wanted to separate Christians and the church from state. And they wanted to revoke nonprofit status if pastors talk about politics in churches. And they wanted to take away nonprofit status if you sway people to vote one way or the other. And that's never, ever what I'd want to do, to sway you who to vote for. But I do need to tell you that Christians were seeing exactly what this man predicted. We have voted, and maybe voted quietly, and maybe not voted loud enough to make a stand. We have to start standing for righteousness, and we have to start demanding more. And if we're not going to say anything, and if we're not going to demand anything, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to seize control of us all. And that's the bottom line. We must stand. It's God, not government first. It's God first. It is absolutely God first and his word. And sometimes we get afraid to call sin, sin. And that's where the other part of the church has gotten in trouble. I'll be honest, we've been way too accepting of sin. Sin, the Bible says, it's death. The wages of sin is absolutely death. We cannot accept it. Now, God has forgiven us, right? And God has forgiven us. Thank the Lord that he has washed all of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. He has grace, he has mercy, his reckless love. But that does not mean it's an excuse. Do whatever we want. We must stand today as a bright, shining light for Jesus Christ. Last week, we started a theme called Divine Guidance Vision 2021. And if you have your special 3D glasses, we're going to put those on. Hey, can you do me a favor and give Jason right here some 3D glasses? Oh, you got some. Okay, good. Just making sure. Nice to see you. Okay, go ahead and put your 3D glasses on. I don't have a video. We're just going to sit with these on for a little bit, looking at each other. I think most of us in this room say things look just a little different, right? We agree that with these glasses on, things look a little different. So as I was praying and asking God how to start 2021, this is what he put on my heart. We are not seeing him clearly, and we're not listening and seeing what he wants to do because our vision's been blurred by the world. And our vision's been blurred by our emotions and our thoughts and our cares and our desires. And our vision's been blurred by the news and the media. And our vision's being blurred. It's being blurred by people. Vision is being blurred. And so because our vision's being blurred through politics, through this election year, through COVID even this year, stops us from seeing God clearly. And if I don't know about you. You can take them off now. But if God wants to do something big, I want to see it. And I want to be a part of it, right? That's why we must press in. So we started with this verse, Proverbs 29:18, reading the King James Version tonight, Proverbs 29:18. And it says, "Where there is no vision, people perish." No vision, people perish. Now, here's three different translations. New Living Translation says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, divine guidance. Vision, divine guidance, then they will run wild. Amplified Version puts it this way. Where there is no vision or redemptive revelation of God, people perish. And the Message translation puts it this way. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. You know, in this year and even last year, even Christians, we've been stumbling over one another because we haven't taken a step back to say, God, what are you doing? God, what's the outcome, God, that you want to have in this? And so sometimes, even as Christians, we're stumbling all over each other because we're not asking. We think we feel, and we think that we hear, but it's because of our glasses and our blurred vision that we cannot see. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Divine guidance, redemptive revelation. I love this next verse, Matthew 5:8. This is a verse that we closed on last week, which is pretty tiny, so I apologize if you can't read it. It says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. They will see God. And if you look up pure in the Greek, it means clean, clear, pure. And we know that when we ask Jesus into our heart, no matter how much sin, instantly, when we ask Jesus into our heart, that's how God viewed us. Clean, clear, and pure. Righteous. No matter how much sin there was, God declared you righteous. The moment you asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you were declared righteous. Clean, clear, and pure. But if you go on a little bit further, it says, if you look at the word see in the Greek, it means to gaze with your eyes wide open, with earnest but continued inspection. Jesus, when he was sharing the Beatitudes in this story, such a beautiful picture as he sits down and he starts teaching the people. And you know what he's teaching? This is how you get a favored life. Who doesn't want a favored life, right? This is what he said, blessed. And when Jesus said blessed here, it means fully blessed, so blessed, running over. You can't hold it. You can't contain it. It's so awesome. Blessed. The favored life. And in one of the Beatitudes was those whose hearts are pure. And how do you keep having a pure heart? You keep your eyes wide open, earnestly, continued, inspecting, chasing after God, just like God chases after us, right? That's what we sang tonight. God is chasing after us. He's reckless in his pursuit. He loves us. He's wild about us, all those things. But in return, as you taste that love, the minute you taste that love, be a changing, and now you start to chase him. And now you start to go after him. And nothing and no one holding you back because you are now so driven by the love of God. Tonight, my story and my main text is in Mark. If you have your Bibles, it's in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it says, as they arrived at the other side of the lake, Jesus climbed out of the boat, and a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in a burial cave and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains, shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists. He smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, and he ran to meet him, and he bowed low before him, and with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Jesus had already said to that spirit, "Come out of that man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them into a distant place. And I'm not going to continue in the story because it involves pigs and running off a hill and all this weird stuff. But tonight I wanted to break down this part of the story. And I want to paint this picture real clearly of this young man. How did this young man end up like this? This young man, he wasn't any different than any one of us. But in this story and in this moment, he'd become so abused by spirits, not by family, not by a man, not by a woman. He was abused by spirits. And they would take over his body. And it said that as they took over his body, he became so strong. The demons made him so strong that he broke chains and broke shackles. What in the heck? This young man's life, what caused him? What caused him to end up like this? And you know what's crazy? If you look today, I don't know if you watch TV. We watch a little bit. But they have all these like scary, ghost, weird shows coming out today. There's all these weird shows coming out. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get kids, even on kids' shows, they're trying to get kids to believe in the supernatural. They're trying to get kids to believe in the supernatural. And then maybe, you know, let's just play with the Ouija board here. Let's take it a step further. Because sometimes, how many of us, and let's just use the example of a relationship. When you're dating somebody and you fall in love, you know, you don't want to date for 10 years, right? If you date and fall in love, and if you're of age and you got a little cash in your pocket, it's like, let's get married, right? Let's take it to the next level. And see, that's what unfortunately physically and spiritually happens to a lot of people. In this moment, I feel for this young man because I think at some point there was some kind of voice that spoke to him. And he just wanted to see what was out there. He just wanted to see a little bit more. He just wanted to play a little bit longer. He just wanted to run around the graves and tombs and see what was going on, right? Just a little bit longer. Just a normal young man who unfortunately ended up in a really bad place. These demons took over him. And these demons had power. Demons have power. No normal man, for the most part, can break chains every day, right? Maybe on us, our best day, men, we can break chains a little bit, right? You know, maybe once a week after we eat our Wheaties, build up for the week, then we're good, right? But it says that this guy was breaking chains every single day. And now no one, no matter who tried, they could not restrain him. And it's really, really important to understand there was demonic power. And this demonic power was big and it was strong and it was put in fear in the hearts of the people who were in that village. For the village people who lived with this guy, they decided they wanted to protect themselves. As any of us would, right? If war is coming, if civil war is coming, let's go out and buy 3 million guns, a tank, a helicopter, a machine gun, right? If civil war is about to break out, we need 3 million weapons. We need all of this stuff. We got to be ready. And in this moment, this is exactly what these people feel like. War is breaking out. War is breaking out. This man is going to kill us. He's going to hurt us. He's going to hurt little Billy over there. See, little Billy, he's going to be gone next week if we just don't take care of this guy. So what do? They wanted to protect themselves. They were the ones who put chains on this young man. And for a lot of people, they'd say, okay, they were protecting the young man from himself. Bah humbug. No. They were trying to protect themselves. And see, what I want you to see loud and clear, the demons who had overtaken this young man, the spirit in one of them being fear, the message of fear being loud, look at my power. Look at the power we have. All the village people, they soaked it up. It was so good. It was like a double cheeseburger with grilled onions, if that's what you like, or raw onions, red or white or yellow, who cares, right? Just put them on there. Or tomatoes, all that good stuff. They soaked it up and they ate it. And you know what they did? They caved in to this one man. A whole town caved in to one man because they were afraid. What happens if he's unleashed? You know, it's sad because it says that this young man, he lived with death. Every day he hung out at the tombs. And he hung out walking around in caves and tombs where dead people were. And it reminds us that we become a product of what we talk about and who we hang out with. This guy lived and hung out in the tombs with dead people. So it's no wonder that he had death hanging all around him. If you talk death, guess what's going to happen eventually? You're going to die. If every day you wake up and say, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, you know what God's going to do? He's just going to smack you silly. All right, bye. You become a product of the words that you speak. We become products of the people we hang out with. For this man in the story, and I feel so bad for him because he hung out with death. And why did he hang out with death? Because nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. He wasn't nice. He wasn't kind. He was a demon. So he had no friends. And you know what we do sometimes when we have no friends? We will talk to certain people who just aren't good for us. You know, and it's sad because even in the Christian church, you know, God wants you to go to heaven, right? Priority number one, right? He wants you to go to heaven. You know what's priority number two? He wants you to grow and follow the Bible and all that it says in here. While you're here, he wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants you to see that the kingdom of heaven, it belongs inside of you. He wants you to see his grace and his mercy and his power. Acts 1:8, right, where the Holy Spirit power comes upon us. He wants you to see all of those things. Yes, he wants you to be saved, but now he wants to supercharge you to take over the world for him. What happens sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of Christians become sour. We have a lot of sour Christians in our world. They're sour. They're not sweet anymore. Maybe they were sweet 10 years ago, but you know what? They're sour now. When you talk to them, it's sour. It's death, sickness. And you know what? People would say, you know what? That's not being real. We have to talk about sickness. Yes, there are a lot of sick people out there, right? But you know what they say now? The flu has disappeared. It's no longer there. Oh my gosh, there's no more flu. We should be rejoicing. Yes, no more flu. Because it's been replaced with COVID. Ah, isn't that special? It's no more flu because they replaced it with COVID. Interesting. But if you do talk with people who are afraid to be sick all the time, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get sick. And so God tonight in this part of the story just wants to remind you, this young man, he lived with death. He hung out with death. He probably talked to dead people of all things, because that's all who would talk, the people who talked to him. He had nobody else to talk to. And you know what's nice? They did not talk back. No matter if he cussed them out, no matter if he said anything to them, those dead people, they didn't even move, right? It's kind of like us parents talking to our kids sometimes when they're distracted. We talk to them and they don't even flinch. They don't even hear us or pretend to hear us. But I want to encourage you tonight, and I want you to hear, please, in our world today, there is death, there is sickness, there's a lot of bad things. But if you dwell on those things, that's what you'll become. We have to be light. Jesus said, be the light of the world. There's always two sides to the story. Bring his story. Don't bring the story that we see. God said, don't walk by what you see. He said, walk by faith. I find it interesting, too, that the demons, as soon as they see Jesus, as soon as they smelt him, and that bubblegum, grape bubblegum, because that's the best, they immediately ran to Jesus, and they bowed down to him. And these demons instantly bowed down because they knew, even though they had a whole village terrified, even though we have no idea how many people were in that village, could have been like Hemet, 50,000, 60, 70, who knows, right? We lost track. There was a lot of people. They were all terrified of this one man. But when the demons saw Jesus, they had a new fear. Ah. This is the Son of God. The power that I have doesn't come close to what he has. I have to bow down. I have to bow my knee. I have to subject myself to this because he is the Son of God. There is a new power that is here, and we are bowing out. And they said to Jesus, why do you want to interfere with us? Why do you want to wreck our plans? Why do you want to do that? We're having fun bothering this guy, torturing this town. Why? Jesus told the demon, come out. As he tells them to come out, he says, what's your name? I like how they said legion. In this time, the legion meant 6,000 men. No wonder this guy was crazy, right? 6,000 demons? I mean, there's times when we meet people and we think they could at least have a couple. But can you imagine having 6,000 demons that were tormenting you? And it could just be a word picture to describe how badly that this man was being tortured. And I wonder, 6,000 demons, maybe it's how many mistakes he'd made in his life, 6,000 mistakes. And I wonder, maybe it's the bad choices that he made. He made 6,000 bad choices. Maybe he had 6,000 bad thoughts. He had, it says, a legion, which is like an army that was inside of him. But when they met Jesus, they had to flee. And tonight, one of the main things I want to talk to you about is in this season, 2021, Satan, his boys, the demons, which are fallen angels, they want to grind you down. They want to grind you down. They want to grind your faith down. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. And so Satan, what he's doing right now is he is grinding the world down. He's grinding people, and he's grinding believers. And you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to strip their faith, and he's trying to take all the faith that they have and replace it with fear. And he's trying to take being healthy and eating at healthy places and eating salad every day and rice and vegetables, because that's what good people do, and replace it with junk food like McDonald's, which sounds really good, right? And Big Macs and Quarter Pounders, which are made fresh daily. Satan is working overtime today to grind you down. He wants to grind you down until there is no more faith, until there is no more faith in God. And he wants to wear you out. He wants to wear your Christianity. I don't know if you've ever worked out before, but if, you know, we can kind of remember those days of working out and, you know, jogging. How many of us have jogged to the point of, okay, I'm done. I can't take another step. Or maybe not really jogging for real, because we have bikes. You can sit on a bike and it doesn't go anywhere. And you can sit there till your heart's content and just pretend you're out on a bike ride. And how many of you have ever ridden on one of those bikes until you just can't take another step? Or the treadmill, which is an awesome one, right? The treadmill is an amazing thing to work out on. That thing is so fun. But working out, at some point, if you push yourself to the limit, you will be wore out. And there's a lot of Christians today who are wore out. We have a lot of wore out Christians. I don't know if I feel like getting up tomorrow. I'm just going to sleep in. I'm going to lock my door, put headphones on. The kids can't wake me up. I'm just not going to get up till 10, then I'll get up. Right? How many wore out Christians do we have? They're battered. They're beat up. Satan has just attacked from all sides, and his demons, and they're just not sure if they can take another day. You know, the thing is, when it comes to being a Christian, we think about being a witness, and many of us in this room, we've at least witnessed to one person. We've at least witnessed to one person. And I think for most of us in this room, we would say, if we're going to witness to somebody, God, give me somebody easy. Give me somebody who's, you know, really close to accepting you, so that way I can just kind of share a little bit, and then they accept Jesus, and then they're going to heaven, and then we'll rejoice, do a dance, and then it's over, right? But I wonder today if there's people that God wants us to minister to that nobody else wants to minister to. And I wonder, like in this story, this one man was left out and alone because he was demon-possessed. And yes, that's horrible. And I'm not telling you to run out of here and go fight with demons, because you need to learn how to fight with demons, right? You need to learn how to be a strong Christian and a believer before you go out and just start casting out demons. If you want to try it in Sunday school, try it on the kids first. Just kidding. Not my kids, your kids, just kidding. Just kidding. But if we're honest, how many of us would say, you know what? I don't think God used me to witness to this guy. He is wacko. He's crazy. There is one out there for you that's a tough case. There's one person out there for you that is extremely tough, extremely difficult, and God wants him to remind us tonight, every heart matters. Every soul matters. Every soul counts. Every soul is important. Every single person on this planet, they are absolutely important. And you know what they're looking for? They're just looking for one. And they're looking for you. and they're looking for you. You're the one they're looking for. They already know your name. They already know your hair color. They have your favorite food waiting because they're going to give you a gift card. As soon as they see you, they're going to be so excited. Yes, this was the one I've been waiting for. God has brought them to me, and they're not afraid anymore, and they're ready to witness. And here they are. They're ready. Luke 15:3 says, Jesus told this story. Nope, that's not the one I want to read. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Shame on me. Dang it. So tonight, actually, as we start to slowly wrap up, say slowly. Slowly. We're going to slowly wrap up. How does slowly look? Luke, I just forgot to put the verse. When Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read the scriptures. And this is what he said. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Turn to yourself, tap yourself, and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me right now. His power is upon me right now. His power and his anointing are upon me right now. For he has anointed me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor." The man in this story was a poor man. Poor people hung out in caves and tombs. The good news is even for the poor. The good news is for everybody. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has called me. He's chosen me to bring good news to the poor. What is good news? There is nothing better than Jesus because he washes every single sin away. He washes, he forgives, he cleanses, and then he doesn't hold your sin against you. There's a lot of Christians today who they want to hold other people's sin against them. That's not what Jesus would do. That's not what Jesus would do. Jesus cleansed and washed sin, so it's completely wiped out. Even in families, how many of us know that in families sometimes we have a list of all the things that you've messed up, all the things that you said, every time that you call me the worst dad in the whole wide world. I have counted and I've got it all right here. But that's not God. And as a Christian, that's not what God wants us to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, not alone. Not by yourself, because it involves a team. We need a team to preach the good news. He's anointed me to bring that good news. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be released. And in this story, this is what happened. There was a man who was held captive by demons. He was demonically oppressed and possessed. He was so possessed that it gave him power to break chains and shackles, that every single person, they got away from him because they couldn't restrain him. They gave up on him and they said, "You go hang out in the tombs. You go hang out there and play with the dead people." But for this young man, he got a brand new life. All the demons that were inside of him, they came out and they went inside pigs and then they ran off the hill. But for the young man in the story, he was completely free. That's what Christianity is. Jesus has come to set us free. We're free men and women, free. We're free from the bondage of sin. We do not have to be tempted anymore. We do not have to give in and play chess with the devil, even if we can beat him sometimes. We do not have to give in. We do not. He's given us the power and the victory to walk uprightly, to have character, to be who he's called us to be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to release captives so the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's what he wants you to proclaim. Does it feel like there's a time of favor right now? Maybe not so much. But maybe if all the Christians in the world started declaring God's favor is here, I bet we'd see a change. if we stop talking and having conversation, and yes, we're sympathetic, and yes, we feel for people who are sick and hurting, but if we stop talking about all the negative things that are happening and started talking about God and what he's doing and what God is saying and where God is moving and the revival that God wants to have, all the awesome and amazing, powerful things that God has, and they're ready and they're moving, I think we'd see a change. So as we start to wrap up this morning, I do have one last verse. And I said I'd slowly wrap up, so I was being honest. Hebrews 10:23 says this: "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm." And as they read this verse, the writer was writing it to Hebrews because they were being socially pressured to turn back and be religious. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. We have to hold tightly to this. And he was speaking because, again, there was a social pressure to turn from being the graceful, amazing, awesome, powerful Christian to turning back into a religious Christian. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted to keep his promise. There's probably times where we feel like he hasn't kept it yet. He hasn't answered it yet. God is faithful. He will keep his promise to you. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. With the return of his return drawing near, what are we supposed to do? Meet together. And the description there was for worship in the Greek. And the description is to inspire. And the description is to encourage. And actually, the picture is people who are out in battle coming back together, like in a hospital, the church being like a hospital. And as people come in battered and bruised, they come in and they find encouragement. They don't get slapped on the face and be called names they don't want to be called, right? They come in and they find peace and they find hope and they find encouragement and they find inspiration as they worship together, as they talk with their brothers and sisters at a distance right now. Still, the writer says, do not forsake, do not forget, do not ignore meeting together as the day draws near. Now, I wonder, I'm sure the writer knew that COVID was coming. I'm sure the writer knew that tragedy and pandemics were going to hit the entire world. At this point, people were being persecuted and killed. As Christians, are we being persecuted? Yeah. Are we being killed? No. These Christians were. And so as the writer is speaking to them, that's exactly what he's saying. Listen, it is scary out there. I know you're being killed, and I know you're losing friends, and I know you're losing family, but do not stop meeting together. God wants us to meet together. He wants us to come together so that our voices are heard together, so that we worship together, so that we raise our voices together, so that we worship and honor him together, so that we encourage and inspire, so that when you walk out that door, you feel inspired and loved, loved by him and loved by family, loved by friends, loved by the church members. Do not forget or ignore meeting together. Daniel, if you can come back up. As we do, I do have one last verse, maybe. But there's one thing that we forget, and the writer was talking about this. The writer of Hebrews was talking about the significant privilege and the direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And I just want you to think about that for a second. Significant privilege and the direct access to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. As a son, as a daughter, as a child of the King, as someone who is saved, who's someone who is redeemed, someone who's healed in Jesus' name, someone who's been freed in Jesus' name, you have privilege in Jesus Christ. You have privilege to have access to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. No. last week, if you missed it, we all brought expensive gifts for all of you. And we brought you some 3D glasses, which are really expensive. And then we brought you a bag of mud. Because we start 2021, you see, it's the muddy things in life that where we don't want to see God. It's the muddy places, and it's the muddy people where we don't want to see. We don't. But in this year, starting in 2021, God wants us believers to stand and see. He wants you to see. He wants you to have your eyes wide open with continued inspection. Matthew 5:8. And so tonight, that was last week, the mud, and I apologize. I have a bag if you need that expensive mud from our backyard. We'll get you a bag. But tonight, it's to see that God is still in control. And no matter what happens in our world, God is in control. God is in control. Why do you have to be afraid? Why should we fear? Why should we cry? Why should we have all these horrible things? Do this, 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 and this. God is in control. There's nothing that has happened this week that surprised God. There's nothing that God said, oh, I didn't see that coming. God is in control. And if he's in control, let's just be his kids and run around and have fun. Spirit, move, come. Blow on through. Holy Spirit, come in this moment, in this time, and blow through me. Use me, God, in this moment, in this time. Because it's in the muddy places. God is in control everywhere we go.